One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I'm Lauren Mathias, and this is Hidden True Crime, where we delve into the hidden motives of unimaginable crimes. And this is Hidden Headlines. On Thursday, two little girls, 3-year-old Aria and 2-year-old Alana Maldonado, were reunited with family after being the subject of an Amber Alert and being taken across the Mexico border. So here's what we know so far. On Tuesday, January 28th, police were called to a home in Hanford, California, around 4 p.m. for a welfare check. When they arrived, they found 22-year-old Madeline Rose Cuevas dead. She had been shot. It was actually Madeline's dad who had called for the welfare check as he hadn't heard from his daughter and he was concerned. While he waited for the police to get to Madeline's house, he was able to get inside and he was the one who actually initially found his daughter, Madeline. 23-year-old Jonathan Maldonado Cruz was quickly named as a suspect and police put out an Amber Alert after they learned that he and Madeline had two little girls together who were missing. They were not in the house. They were able to narrow the time frame down to Madeline being shot around 1 a.m. on Tuesday morning using cell phone tracking. They were then able to confirm that Jonathan had since traveled to Mexico. The FBI, as well as the Mexican authorities, began working with the Kings County Sheriff's Office to help narrow down Jonathan's location to arrest him and bring the girls back to safety. But on Wednesday, Jonathan's mother called law enforcement herself and said that her son was ready to turn himself in. She had helped law enforcement with their negotiations to get him to surrender. What a mother. Thank you to Jonathan's mother. Jonathan followed through and met with authorities, surrendering himself and his girls safely. He was arrested and his little girls were brought back to the United States. King County Sheriff's Office worked with CPS to make sure the girls were taken care of on their way back and also to make sure background checks began on family members so the girls could be placed with Madeline's family upon their return. Madeline's dad, the girl's grandpa, had actually just finished an interview with the news when he found out his granddaughters were found. Take a listen.
Now, it's been a tragic week for the Cuevas family, and in this tragic week, finally some light and some good news this morning. We were with Joel Cuevas, that's the grandfather of the two young girls that were returned today, and he allowed us to capture the very moments he found out his granddaughters would be home safe.
I hope they come home soon. I feel like they're not safe, and I have a feeling that they're coming home soon. God is with us.
And that he was. As soon as we wrapped up this interview with Joel on Thursday morning around 11, Kings County Sheriff deputies gave him the news. His toddler granddaughters, who deputies confirm were abducted by their father on Tuesday and taken across the border to Mexico, had been found safe and were on their way home.
3 o'clock, press conference set up.
Take care, everybody. After the girls were returned, the family released a statement saying, quote, "On behalf of the Cuevas family, we want to share that Madeline's daughters have been safely returned to us following the heartbreaking loss of their mother. While this has been an incredibly difficult time, our focus remains on the well-being of the girls and ensuring they are surrounded by love and support in the face of adversity. We choose to hold on to faith, not just when life is easy, but especially when we are tested the most. It is in these moments that faith gives us strength, hope, and the ability to move forward. We also believe in grace and that we are not here to judge those who trespass against us, but to find peace in our hearts as we continue on this journey. We are deeply grateful for the overwhelming support, prayers, and kindness from our community. The love and compassion shown to our family during this time have been a reminder that even in darkness, light prevails." End quote. Wow. What a statement. On Monday, official charges were filed against Jonathan. He is being charged with murder in the first degree with the special circumstances of lying in wait along with a gun enhancement. When explaining the charges, the prosecutor said, quote, "We believe that there was enough evidence to show that the defendant had set up a circumstance where the victim would have been in a situation where she wouldn't have known about the defendant's malicious intent. She would have been caught unaware, and the defendant would have had an opportunity to take advantage of the victim's unawareness," end quote. Per California law, the lying in wait enhancement means that he could potentially face the death penalty. However, at minimum, if convicted, he is looking at life in prison with no possibility of parole. Since the return of the girls, the community has rallied around to support the Cuevas family as they navigate not only grief, but also raising two little girls without their mother.
Madeline's family and friends now grieving.
She always greeted whoever with a smile. And I honestly believe, like, she would give you the shirt off her back.
The young mother touched the lives of so many, including her coworkers at Costco.
It's just devastating when someone so young and so inspiring is tragically taken away from us.
Her daughter's now left without a mom.
I know that her spirit is going to live on. I know that her daughters are going to, you know, have this memory of their great mother. But that still doesn't take away the hurt and the pain that we're all going to feel.
Sierra Pacific High School accepted donations during a basketball tournament at Hanford West to show their support to the Cuevas family.
We felt the best thing that we could do is to help raise some money for them and whatever needs they may have.
She made an impact on all of us in the short amount of time that she was with us. I want her to know that she was an amazing mother, like she would always talk about her girls. And I just want her to know that I just pray that she's at peace.
Jonathan is expected back in court this week, and he will enter a plea in his case. This week, it was announced that the investigation into the death of Ellen Greenberg is being re-examined. Finally. For a quick overview, in January of 2011, Ellen Greenberg was a 27-year-old Pennsylvania teacher found on her kitchen floor in her apartment by her fiancé, Sam Goldberg. When she was discovered, Ellen had 20 stab wounds to her head, her neck, and torso. Her death, while initially ruled a homicide, ended up being changed to being ruled as if Ellen had actually done this to herself, self-harm. For the last 14 years, her parents have been fighting for justice as they truly believed there was no way she could do this to herself.
We want to get justice for our daughter. And the longer this goes on, the more is uncovered.
This week, Ellen's family was set to go to trial in a civil lawsuit they had filed against different city officials. But things quickly changed as jury selection began. We are going to go back to jury selection in just a moment. But it is important to note that last Friday, the medical examiner who did her autopsy said in a sworn statement, quote, "I am now aware that information exists which draws into question, for example, whether Ellen's fiance was witnessed entering the apartment before placing the 911 call on January 26, 2011, whether the door was forced open as reported, whether Ellen's body was moved by someone else in the apartment with her at or near the time of her death, and the findings of Lindsay Emery, MD, from her neuropathological evaluation of Ellen's cervical segment sample, end quote. He continued on saying, quote, based on my consideration of the new information brought to my attention after leaving my position as medical examiner for the city of Philadelphia, along with my original autopsy findings and information considered while I was actively involved in Ellen's case, it is my professional opinion that Ellen's manner of death should be designated as something other than, end quote. This was huge news. This is huge news because really, this is all Ellen's family has ever wanted. For 14 years, they just wanted her death to be labeled something else because they believe that there is no way she could have done this to herself. In response to this, the attorneys for Ellen's family spoke out saying, quote, it's a tremendous statement by Dr. Osborne, as far as I'm concerned, and a courageous one. The only thing unfortunate about it is how late in time it came. It should have come earlier, but we are grateful that he has done the right thing, end quote. So now, going back to the trial, going back to jury selection, the trial was supposed to begin on Monday with jury selection, according to the judge's ruling. But the medical examiner would have had to testify in the trial. Just before that happened, a settlement was reached between Ellen's parents and the city, meaning that her death will be reopened and reexamined. Many people have speculated that Ellen's fiance, Sam, may have had something to do with her death. However, Sam maintains his opinion that the manner of Ellen's death is correct. And last year released a statement to CNN saying in part, quote, when she died, a part of me died with her. Unimaginably, in the years that have passed, I have had to endure the unimaginable passing of my future wife and the pathetic and despicable attempts to desecrate my reputation and her privacy by creating a narrative that embraces lies, distortions, and falsehoods in order to avoid the truth, end quote. For Ellen's parents, this settlement is monumental and marks justice being served. In Chicago, two men have been arrested and charged with the brutal murder of a 63-year-old man. This all started on Sunday, January 26th, when a woman called police around 11 p.m. saying she found her brother, 63-year-old George Levin, unresponsive in his basement apartment bedroom. George was rushed to the hospital where he was pronounced as deceased, and an investigation was launched quickly into his death. George's sister told police that right around 8 p.m. that night, she heard a banging noise. When she went to go see what it was, because they lived in the same house, and we'll get to that in just a minute, the living situation. But when she went to go see what that banging noise was, she saw a man exiting her brother's. And when she asked where her brother was, the man responded, quote, yes, I am with your brother. I will have him call you, end quote. The sister then tried to call and text George, but his responses, which we can assume were via text, they were not his usual responses. A couple of hours later, she went down to his apartment again. She ended up breaking down the door, and that is when she found her brother, partially naked, bound with duct tape and an electrical cord, gagged with a sock in his mouth and duct tape over it. She quickly called 911, and while waiting for the paramedics and police to arrive, she ripped the duct tape off of her brother's face, and she quickly began CPR. Over the next couple of days, police worked tirelessly to figure out who was responsible for taking George's life. And last Thursday morning, news broke that police had two people of interest in custody. Using both surveillance, as well as George's sister identifying the man she saw in a lineup, police were led to two roommates, 21-year-old Jerwin Bello Morales and 29-year-old Jefferson Ubia Delgado. The men, who have now both been charged with murder and robbery, allegedly met George on the dating app Grindr. And after meeting through the app, the men went over to George's house that night for a consensual hookup, which turned deadly. After killing George, the men took his wallet and phone before going to a local gas station and vape shop to try and make purchases. They then spent almost $4,000 on Amazon using George's phone, as well as trying to withdraw money from an ATM at the vape shop. Jefferson, who is from Venezuela, told police that Jerwin, who was from Ecuador, was the one who beat George and took his money. As of now, both are being held without bond. Both of them also have previous run-ins with the law. At the time of his arrest, Jefferson was wearing a GPS monitor on his ankle, which also helped law enforcement locate him. As for Jirwin, well, just prior to the murder, he was charged with simple assault after trying to lure a 13-year-old girl into his car. At their court hearing, the defense attorneys argued a couple of things. The first one is that the defense attorneys, well, they referred to this as an unfortunate accident, saying it was an unfortunate incident. We have no way of knowing what happened in that room, they say, what was consensual and what was not, end quote. The second one was that two men were given George's phone as payment for sex. Regardless of these arguments by the defense, which are full of victim blaming, the judge ultimately decided against any form of pretrial release, saying, quote, I can't overlook the horrifying nature of this crime. To call this a violent crime is an understatement, end quote. Thank you, judge. This murder has definitely rocked the tight-knit community of Norwood Park. Since 2016, so almost a decade, there have been only 5 murders in that community, meaning it is honestly a very safe community in Chicago. Most of the neighbors in Norwood Park have been there for years, and they all know each other. The house that George lived in is actually his mother's, and last year he created the basement apartment for himself while his mom and his sister lived in the other part of the house. The house has been described by neighbors as, quote, the best-looking house in the neighborhood due to George's eye for design and the flowers and decorations that he would put out front. When making financial decisions, one of the most important things to me is knowing exactly where my money is going when it comes to saving and investing, and Acorns allows me to have that clarity. Acorns makes it easy to start that process. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. Getting set up with Acorns is something you can do in as little as 5 minutes, meaning you aren't spending hours trying to figure out how to invest. Sign up now and join over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/hiddentruecrime or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorn Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/hiddentruecrime.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
In Rose Hill, Kansas, 2 adoptive parents are behind bars and charged in relation to the death of their 6-year-old adopted daughter after her body, which is believed to have been buried for potentially the last 4 years, was found in their backyard. Yes, 4 years. And yes, in their backyard, a little girl, their 6-year-old daughter. Heartbreaking and unfathomable. So let me break this down. Back in September of 2024, police were called to the home of Christina and Joseph Schroyer after an adult in the home was experiencing a detrimental mental health crisis. So while police were in the house or at the house for this mental health crisis, for this call, they learned about a possible previous homicide. How that happened, I don't know. But this led to police clearing brush in the backyard the following day, digging and actually using cadaver dogs. And that is where they found little Kennedy's remains, 23 inches below the surface, her body in a trash bag, thrown out like trash. Kennedy, whose birth name was actually Natalie Garcia, was born in 2014. In 2017, her biological mother, Krista, lost custody after spending time in jail, and dealing with substance abuse issues. In 2018, Krista relinquished her rights to Kennedy and her two sisters, who were then adopted by the Schroers in 2019. All Krista knew, she was giving her three girls a family. And things seemed to be going well, and Kennedy attended a local public school for the fall semester of kindergarten. But then in 2020, she was suddenly pulled out of school to be homeschooled. It seems like after that, no one really knew what happened to Kennedy. And over the past 5 months, since her remains were found, investigators have spent countless hours trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together to figure out exactly what happened to little Kennedy and when and why. Investigators believe that Kennedy was murdered in 2020 after she was pulled out of school when she, again, was just 6 years old. As for her cause of death, the medical examiner ruled it as likely suffocation. Just this week, Christina was booked on suspicion of the following: first-degree murder, aggravated kidnapping, 4 counts of child abuse, torture, felony theft, 4 counts of forgery, Medicaid fraud, desecration of a corpse. And Joe, the adoptive father, well, he was booked on suspicion of 4 counts of child abuse, torture, liability for crimes of another, interference with law enforcement, felony theft, Medicaid fraud. Both of them are currently being held in the county jail without bond. Kennedy's biological birth mother, who is now in recovery and maintaining sobriety, is fighting to regain custody of her other two daughters and has said, quote, "Their mom loves them. I always will. I've lived. I've learned. There are a lot of things I didn't know when they were little, and I was young. I can't imagine seeing their faces in this tragedy. It is the worst way possible. But God creates miracles and brings families back together in ways you cannot expect," end quote. It's unclear whether or not the mother will be able to regain custody, but the last update on Kennedy's two sisters is that they are in the custody of the state, and hopefully they are doing okay.
All of the evil that they've done is about to come to light. I've been praying for the truth to be revealed, and it's coming out.
Last week, one of the people on the FBI's 10 most wanted list was captured. 42-year-old Arnaldo Jimenez was found and arrested in Mexico on Friday after spending the last 12 years on the run. In May of 2012, Estrella Carrera was found stabbed to death via a welfare check after she did not show up to pick up her two young children. When Estrella was found, she was not only in her bathtub, but she was actually wearing her wedding dress, because it turns out she had secretly gotten married the day before she was found. Just a couple of days later, police had secured a warrant to charge her new husband, Arnaldo, with the murder. Her husband of a day with the murder. But by that point, he was already on the run. It is believed that Arnaldo first stabbed Estrella to death in his car, a black Maserati, before dragging her inside and placing her in the bathtub. After stabbing his bride, Arnaldo then called his sister, saying that he and Estrella had had a bad fight and she was bleeding. Then it is believed that his brother drove him to Mexico, and that is where he has remained on the run for the last 12 years, while a manhunt has been underway for him for 12 years. In 2019, he was officially put on the FBI's most wanted list. Unfortunately, Estrella and Arnaldo's relationship seemed to be full of prior domestic violence, as she had previously been hit and had had bruises from Arnaldo. Despite Estrella and Arnaldo having a child together, her family never approved of the relationship, and ultimately, it seems to have led to her death on her wedding night. Right now, Arnaldo is awaiting extradition in Mexico, but once he is back in the United States, he will face charges in relation to Estrella's murder. For some super quick news, last week we talked a lot about Lori Daybell's motion to dismiss the case against her, the case where she is charged for the attempted murder against Brandon Boudreau, who is her ex-nephew-in-law. Well, it looks like I didn't need to worry. The judge has come back and denied Lori's motion for dismissal. In his ruling, the judge cites the extensions that have been granted, even though that's been against Lori's wishes. But the judge said, quote, "Each continuance of the trial date was based on the extraordinary circumstances of the case, and delay was indispensable to the interests of justice," end quote. So Lori's charges all continue. She is now objecting to cameras in the courtroom for the upcoming trial, where she is charged with murder
of her husband, Charles Vallo, and she is shading Court TV big time in this recent objection to media. Let me read this to you really quickly. The defense objects to Court TV's request in its entirety because of the bias they have already created in the community. And by the way, what is that community? I assume she might mean the true crime community, the YouTube community. It's an interesting word to use here. Namely, Lori Daybell and her husband, Chad Daybell, are the commercial for Court TV. And that commercial runs constantly throughout the day and has falsely characterized, libeled, and slandered the defendants. Court TV should be ashamed of its very nature and its request, since its sole objective is to not, and not is in capital, not to bring people real news or facts, but instead its objective is to entertain the public with the very true life tragedies that happen in real people's lives. The defense objects to Court TV being allowed by this court to participate in this judicial process, including their specific request to appear at trial, live stream the proceedings on the web, and distribute the live feed. Signed, Lori Daybell. The most curious thing about this objection to me is while most of the media states in their headline that this is Lori Vallo objecting to cameras in the courtroom, when you read through this, really their objection is simply Court TV. It's clear that Court TV has requested to be pool in the courtroom. Pool meaning only one camera is typically allowed in during a trial, and they give that footage to all other media outlets. So again, I can't tell if she is objecting to all cameras in the courtroom or simply it being Court TV's camera in the courtroom. Although I will say back in September of 2024, when Lori wasn't representing herself and had a defense attorney, that defense did argue against cameras in the courtroom for Lori's upcoming trial. So whether cameras will be in the courtroom or not, I guess is still to be determined. As far as Hidden True Crime hope goes, let's hope that there will be cameras. This is a trial we need to see. This week on Hidden True Crime, we covered a lawsuit filed against Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt. And on Patreon, we discussed a question from one of our listeners. Why do people seek power? Is all power corrupt? How does seeking power lead to crime? I had a lot of questions answered by my psychologist co-host, Dr. John Mathias, and you can find that episode on patreon.com/hiddentruecrime. I also mentioned last week that we'd be launching our Delphi series this week. And for specific reasons, that release date has been pushed back. We have a couple of interviews we're going to be able to get when it comes to these episodes, but you will soon be able to listen to that entire series on our podcast soon. And coming up later this week, we have several YouTube shows planned, including Dr. John. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. This is Lauren with Hidden True Crime.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.